A.W. Tozer, most of you know about him. This is what he said. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I'll read that statement again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The history of mankind will probably show that no people has ever risen above its religion. And man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship is pure or base as the worshipper entertains high or low thoughts of God. Very powerful statement. We have been studying about God and God's attributes. We can understand God only through His attributes. The first day we looked at God is omniscient. We have a technical word for that. It's omniscient all-knowing God. The second one is all-powerful God or omnipotent God. And today we are going to look at God is relational. As Gerald mentioned, you know, God is all-knowing, all-powerful. But it is interesting to see that God is relational. It is a kind of novel idea, a strange idea to most people around the world. You know, they think God is transcendent. You know, it's a big word, you don't need to be afraid of this. That means, you know, God is just wholly other. He's not part of this world. We as human beings, we have to search for God. Climb the mountain, cross the ocean, and go to a distant place to see this God. Still people don't see the God. But Bible teaches completely different. It is transforming to know that God is relational. What we are going to do is, we are going to study three Bible passages. And we will see what kind of God we have. We will see what do the following passages tell about God. Passage number one is Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 to 9. I'll read it for us. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" You know, first two chapters we see God created the heavens and earth, trees, mountains, animals, anything that we see in this world, He created. And He demonstrated His power by just speaking and things coming into being. He said, "Let there be light," there was light. He said, "Let there be ocean," there was ocean. And He demonstrated that He is so powerful. You know, for us, if someone is so powerful, he becomes too far from us. But the passage that I read just a while ago, it says, He is not only so powerful in creating the whole world out of nothing, but He came in search of His creation, that is Adam and Eve. He says, you know, He walked in the garden in the cool of the day. In the other way, you know, in other words, it says, God came to Garden of Eden to fellowship with Adam and Eve. You know, there is a philosophy called deistic philosophy or deists, or depending on your geography, you pronounce differently. They think, probably God must have created, but He has got nothing to do with this world. You know, He's up there, we are here. There was a group called Sadducees. They also thought like that. God created everything, and He made people so responsible that He is not intervening or He is not taking part in the day-to-day activities of this world. But our Bible teaches completely different, that God comes in search of His creation. Someone said, God did not create the whole world to just make it independent. God created the whole world, particularly the climax of His creation, that is human being, you and me, so that God can have fellowship with us. So, Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 9 says, God is a friend. You know, there is a very popular song this morning also I heard, you know, I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God. You know, when you read Psalm 8, it says, Lord, how majestic you are. And you consider me just less than the angels. And you, you know, fellowship with me. Psalm 139 says, Lord, you are sovereign. You are so beautiful. You created everything. Still, you think about me, although I am so insignificant and so small. You know, God, for God, we are all important collectively and individually. And He doesn't want to be our God, you know, far from us, not having any part in our life. But our God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. For me, when I became a believer, this was a novel idea. I thought, God, you have to go and search for Him. And you have to go to a far place. And you have to struggle to search for this God. But the Bible teaches that God comes in search of you. It is amazing. It's not only in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 9, but He relentlessly pursues you. You look at all the prophets, He comes after you. And you know, the song that we sang is, He's a jealous God. He's not jealous in the sense, human sense, we say He is jealous. It's as a negative force. He is jealous after us because He loves us so much. He considers us as a friend. And you see prophets after prophets after prophets, they just speak to the people, calling them, come back to God. You know, when God sometime used to, in the Old Testament days, He used to send pestilence. Sometime there may be a war. There may be some scarcity in the city. By way of doing this one, God was calling them closer to Himself. You know, we have that very popular passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, you know, repent and turn back, I will heal the land. You know, the gist of it is, God doesn't want us to be away from Him. He comes after us relentlessly. The next passage I would like to read is Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. I will read from verse 1. These are the laws you are to set before them. Verse 1 here, chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord, your God. I am the Lord, He says, I am Jehovah, your God. It's a kind of possession. You know, you are God. I am Jehovah. He's identifying Himself, and I am your God. This is called the Mosaic Covenant, the whole chapter of Exodus chapter 20. It's almost like God is, you know, we use a technical word, suzerain. Someone who is superior, greater, sovereign. He comes and makes an alliance or a covenant with something or someone inferior who has no power. And He says, I am a superior God. I have the power to protect you, provide for you. And I'm making a covenant with you today. It's almost like when you look at covenants, marriage covenant or a marriage vow, we see, you know, I am so and so. Take you today as my wife. You know, it is a covenant. Similarly, God is making a covenant with people of Israel. Few days back, they were slaves in Egypt, had nothing, no power, no land, no right, no authority. He brought them out and He's saying, I am Jehovah, your God. In other words, He's saying, you know, I am the suzerain. You know, I was looking for the right word in English. I could not get it. Suzerain is, you know, when you have a big king, an emperor, and there is a small kingdom. They cannot protect their land by themselves. So they have to get the power of someone who is superior and bigger. And they will go and tell them, we will be under you. You protect us. And God is just volunteering here. He's saying, I am almighty. I'm so powerful. There is nothing that is superior than me. There is nothing that I do not know. And now, I'm making a relationship with you. By that relationship, you can call me your God. So God is here self-offering. He is giving himself to the people of Israel. And you see that one throughout the Bible, God is giving himself to the people. You know, some places say his ears are open to our cry. You know, he knows us. He goes before us, after us, and around us. You know, according to Psalm 121, it says, when you go out, when you come in, he is with you. He doesn't slumber nor sleep. You know, day and night, he is with you. Why? Because he is self-offering God. You know, I was not born in a Christian home. Until I was 19, I did not know about God, a self-offering God. So in our family, we used to go and offer to gods, so-called gods. Once a year, we used to offer animals. Regularly, we used to offer birds, you know, chicken. And sometime, our family members go and you give their hair. And sometime they would go and give a lot of money thinking that by those things they could please God. But, you know, when I come to Bible, I see my God is a self-offering God. He is giving, self-giving God. He's saying, see, I am Jehovah. I am giving to you. And from today onwards, you are going to be mine. I am going to be yours. It is very powerful. And we read another passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. I'll read it for us. Matthew 6, 6 to 9. It says, convenience sake, I'll read it from 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their rewards in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I think Christianity is the only religion. I'm not talking about religion in a bad sense. Christianity is the only religion that teaches God is the Father. You know, there is no other relationship known to human being which is greater than the relationship of Father. Although, you know, we have negative pictures because of various reasons. And Jesus teaches that God is not transcendent, supreme, and you have to search for him. He says, he is your Father. He sees you, although you don't see him physically, but he sees you. And he will reward you. And verse 9 it says, this is how you have to pray. Our Father in heaven. A new relationship that is given to us because of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, these three pictures, although we can take several pictures of how God relates to the human being or relates with human being. But these three are very powerful. One, God is our friend. And God is our suzerain or self-giving, powerful authority. And God is our Father. You know, when we talk about God the Father, how comforting it is. I come across several people where, you know, fathers did not play a role in their lives. Even this afternoon when I was talking to my friend, he was saying there was a man who was 60 years old. Still, he was desiring father's love, missing father's love. And some of us have enjoyed father's love so much. But whether you have human father or you don't have a human father, but we have a heavenly father. And we don't need to really work too hard to get this heavenly father. And you can call God our heavenly father when we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we get a wonderful privilege to go and enjoy this love. And we don't need to be just afraid of God, thinking that God is someone who will just bite us or who will punish us, but we can just go and enjoy the warmth of His love. In Romans chapter 8, that is what it says, you know, we have the privilege of children. We can call God the Father. You know, according to what we discussed today, and you can say, God is my friend. And that is what we read in John chapter 14. And John 10, we see, you know, God is portrayed as our friend. And God is self-giving. In that, what He does is He protects us, provides for us. When we go out in this world, according to Peter, you know, the enemy is looking for an opportunity to devour us. You know, we don't have an inherent power to make us holy. We make a decision here and go out, and we are not able to carry out the decision. When we go out in the world, you know, we are tempted every minute, and every minute we are defeated. You know, both in the spiritual world and the physical world. We need to have someone who comes as a suzerain, a more powerful one, and he says, I'll take care of you. And we need a father. You know, what is the function of a father? In the prayer, Jesus lists some of the functions, but I want to highlight a few things. He gives our daily bread. Our Father gives our daily bread. Jesus challenges to His disciples, if you guys can give fish to your children, how much more our Heavenly Father will give to us when you ask? And our Heavenly Father will give us daily bread. In other words, He will take care of our needs. And He will guide us. Father is the one who guides. You know, when I became a believer, I did not really ask my human father for guidance, because my father did not believe in what I believed. My father, physical father, biological father, by the way, you know, September 2nd was my dad's 13th death anniversary. You know, I did not ask him because he could not guide me the way I should go. The only father I could go to was my Heavenly Father. I could go and I could always get guidance from him. Believe it or not, I don't see him, but I see him everywhere. I don't see him with physical eyes, but I see him everywhere. And there is a promise in Psalm 32 verse 8. I will counsel you, and you know, I will teach you and instruct you the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And our Heavenly Father is the one who will counsel us, teaches us, and He will take care of us, because He is our Heavenly Father. And He forgives us. You know, human fathers sometimes don't forgive. And you know, that is true to me. Sometimes I say I forgive, but I always remember. But our Heavenly Father, according to Psalm 103, says, my sins are removed as far as east is from the west. And He blesses me as far as the heaven is from the earth. Amazing. And He doesn't remember my sins anymore. He doesn't remember. You know, there are certain things God doesn't do. It is not impossible to Him, but He chooses not to do. One of them is my mistakes. He doesn't say, 2 days back, you dishonored me, I'm going to hold it against you. He is not. Because when we come to Him, you read Psalm 103, says, He doesn't remember my transgressions no more, or anymore. And He removes my sins as far as east is from the west. So, you know, some people may ask, why should I believe in God? I don't believe in God. It's easy. If you don't believe in God. And you may say, I don't have, you know, I'm a scientific person, I'm an engineer, or I can say, I'm a, you know, intelligent man, I'm a philosopher. I cannot explain. God cannot be explained with our words and philosophies. You know, we have to believe, then experience. And now, I cannot deny God. And there is a Bible verse in Psalm 54, it says, only few people say there is no God, but everyone, you know, I have been experiencing every day God as my Father. He guides me, He provides for me, He protects me. He forgives me. You know, sometimes I have heaviness of heart. I have guilt in my heart. I go to Him and He takes my guilt away. He restores my soul so much. And you can, list the duty of Father more and more. He cares for you. He cares for you. You know, there is a verse in Bible, Psalm 27, it says, although father and mother forsakes and forget, but our God never forsakes and forgives. You know, never forsakes and He never leaves us alone. He cares for us. He cares for us. So, in all these three passages, one observation I have is God is relational. God is relational. He relates to us. Today, He's saying, hey, Ethan, I want to relate to you. You know, sometimes the superiors, when someone is very big and superior, you try to go and develop friendship with them. They will not relate to you. They will not develop friendship with you. But our God is just very close to you because He wants to relate to you. He wants to be your father. He wants to be your friend. And He wants to be a self-giving so that He can protect you and provide for you. But I'd like to just take you to the other side of it. In all three passages, Genesis 3:8, they responded differently. And the next passage, Exodus 20:22, they responded differently. And we are going to list all of them. How did Adam and Eve respond to God? They disobeyed God. God purposed a lot of good things for them. Everything God purposed was good for Adam and Eve, but they disobeyed God and they hid from God. God was just searching for them. In the sense, you know, when we say God was searching, God knew that they were hiding, but God wanted them to come out and say, Lord, we've made a mistake. Instead of accepting their mistakes, they were finding excuses. They were not saying, Lord, we disobeyed, forgive us. Instead, they went hid behind and said, someone else deceived us. The first response, Exodus 3:8, is disobedience. A lot of us, not only here, around the world, people disobey God. And God is coming so close to them, and they want to be away from God. God comes very close, and they just run away. And, that is what we read in Genesis chapter 3. Exodus 22, God says, I am Jehovah. I am Jehovah, your God. And He gave them a lot of stipulations how the relationship was going to take place. But we see time and again, people enjoyed all the benefits, but they were disloyal to this Jehovah. Is it not true even today? We know God is so good to us. And He has made a relationship with us through our Lord Jesus Christ. But, we enjoy all the benefits. Still, we become disloyal to Him. We are loyal to so many things. We are loyal to our computer. We are loyal to some of the things that God gave to us, some wealth. You know, He is the source of all our wealth. But we become so loyal to the wealth. We become so loyal to our work because God is the one who gives us work. Instead of being loyal to God, we become loyal to our work. And you can just list so many things. It was not true only to people of Israel. It was true to all of us. We enjoy God's blessings and we enjoy God's relationship, but we become disloyal to Him time and again. Matthew chapter 6:6. Jesus Christ taught a new relationship that you can call God the Father. How did people respond? Some people accepted and several others rejected. And rejected to the extent of killing our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Even today, a lot of time people accept the offer. And so many others, they reject it. But those who accept the offer to call our God Father, they have so many blessings. We know the blessings of the Father. You know, I'm a father. You know, I think about my children even though when they don't think about me. You know, sometime 11 o'clock, 11:30, I call both of my children and I pray with them because I'm father. You know, when they go for a trip for 10 days, 15 days, sometimes they don't think about calling father and mother, but I call them, text them. I get irritated with them why they are not contacting me. Because I'm a father. When they need something, I think about it. Oh, let me just work a little bit. Let me save a little bit. Let me provide for them because I'm a father. You know, sometime when they want, they are in, you know, in confusion. I just guide them. Why don't you consider this? You know, sometime, it is so true in the spiritual life also, when children become teenagers and a little bit young adults, they think they know everything. And they think father is an old guy, you know, they don't, father doesn't have any knowledge. Just go and tell them. They say, I want to just pursue this one. You pursue this, but you just give some advice, they disrespect. You know, I'm just telling you this one to just contrast that with our spiritual life. When we have a Heavenly Father, He wants to just bless us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to care for us. He wants to guide us. And a lot of time we think, I will take care of myself. I will take care of myself. And time and again we fall. The question for us today is, how do we respond to this relational God? That is very important. How do we respond to this relational God? You know, I would like to take you to the other two aspects of God. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. Now, believe it or not, after I started preparing the sermon, my understanding of God is amazingly changing. In a normal sense, I would worry. I would think about, what will I do next year? What will my children do when they are by themselves? Or what will happen to some of my friends? And think about congregation, think about ministry. But now, my understanding of God is just becoming clearer and clearer. You know, every day, there is no one who says, I know God. But every day, when I think about God as my omniscient God, all-knowing God, I think, okay, next year, God will take care of me just as He took care of me today. Just as He took care of me yesterday. You know, He will take care of me. Just exactly like how He took care of my children's education, He will take care of me. Just like He provided for the needs of our church, He will provide for us. And there may be suddenly walls. Then I think, you know, previously I would just go around and, you know, make my own devices, my own strategies. But I'm learning now, there is a God who is all-powerful. I can go to Him. God says there is nothing impossible with Him. I can go to Him. And now when I'm lonely, when I'm feeling so, discouraged, irritated, you know, going through kind of depression, how do I respond to this God? I understand God is relational. God is not holy other. He is not sitting out there in a closed room. But my God is so close to me. You know, if I were to push Revelation chapter 21, Revelation 3:21 a little bit, He is knocking at the door of my heart. He is that close. He is knocking at the door of my heart and He is, you know, He wants to come in and have a relationship with me. So, you will ask, what is it for me today? My God is relational. How do I respond to Him? Number one, know God deeper. Know God deeper. You may ask, how do I know God? Is there a philosophy that teaches me knowing God? Or could I go to a far place, sit quietly, isolate myself and isolate all my senses and try to know God? We cannot know God like that. If that is possible, then people in Himalayas and people in far places would have known God. If you want to know God, you have to come to the Word from Revelation to Genesis to Revelation. So, knowing God is listening to Him. How can we listen to God unless we read? You know, several times God spoke to me. When I desperately wanted an encouragement from God, God spoke to me. You know, there are so many students here today, so I'd like to tell you this one. I was lonely. I was far away from my family. My wife and children were still back in India. And I was here in Dallas, a 36-year-old man. And I was missing my family and missing my comfort, my security. And, you know, I wanted someone to come and comfort me. I had money at that time. I had friends at that time. And I had so many things to be busy with. My studies, my work, and all those things. But there was something weighing me down I could not bear. I decided that I was going to spend every Saturday, 4 hours, you know, not eating. You know, it is not, I'm not prescribing that to you all. But I decided that I was going to just worship God and pray. So many things started falling in line. So many things. There are some things God spoke to me. From Isaiah 40 to Isaiah 56, even today, they are real to me. Some of the promises He gave to me when I did that, they are true even today. You know, you don't need someone to speak to you with physical appearance. You don't need someone speaking to you with your mouth, with that person's mouth. But our God can speak to you, you know, from His Word. You will know. If you are going through loneliness, if you are missing your family, you know, if you are, feeling isolated, listen to Him. When Adam and Eve were weighed down with guilt, when they were hiding, God said, "Hey, Adam and Eve, where are you?" And even today, He's coming and He is talking to us. We believe in a God who talks. Our God is not, mouth is not closed. He is not dumb, but He is, He speaks loudly. For that, we have to read Scripture. Sometimes, some people say, "I'm going to read Scripture, two chapters, three chapters a day." It is good. Sometimes they say, "I have read Bible 3 times a year." And it is good. You have to do that. But if you want God to speak to you, you have to take time to just read the Word and you ask the Lord, "Lord, what are you going to speak to me today?" Sometimes you may be reading only one verse, maybe one chapter, maybe 4 verses. God will powerfully, powerfully speak to you. You know, you need to listen to Him. It's not some time speaking all the time, praying all the time. You should also learn to listen to our God who speaks to us. The second one, how do I know God deeper, is obedience. You know, this morning I told my wife, I'm going to do a simple thing. I'm going to go through the gospel and say what Jesus is teaching me. I'm going to simply obey. I don't know whether that is going to happen, but at least I'm thinking, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. Psalm 40 says, "Lord, you have given me a pierced ear." It is not a hole in the ear, but metaphorically speaking, he's saying, "You have given me a spirit of obedience." One thing to know, one thing to listen, but another thing to obey God. Is God telling you to obey anything today? You better be obedient. And how do I know God deeper? Is speak to God. We have to speak to Him. You know, I have so much energy all the time. When I visit with friends, I will just speak continuously. But I should take time to speak to God because He loves His children speaking. You know, He knows what He is going to give you. He knows how He is going to provide for you. But He loves God. He loves you to speak to Him in prayer. You know, you see Jesus going and spending a lot of time with the Father all the time. Let me just proceed a little more. You know, how do I respond to this relational God, God who relates to us? We need to imitate God, that is, make Him known to others. That is what Stan and Christine told us. you can relate to others if you know God is relating to you. If God has taken so much effort to relate to you by sending our Lord Jesus Christ to this world so that you can have a wonderful vertical relationship with Him, He expects you to have a relationship with others. You can be our God's hand, His leg, His mouth, His eyes. There is a world hurting outside. They want you to go and speak words of comfort. There are several people who are looking for an opportunity to come and have dinner with you. Just as Stan and Christine, although Christine made a lot of mistakes, maybe when we come, you should make chapati properly. You know, there are a lot of people, they are not looking for the food that we offer. They are looking for a relationship. You know, it is the missional living that we emphasize here is. The church that we meet here, this is not the end in itself. This is a means to an end. And our desire is everyone who is part of Crossroads family will become God's mouthpiece outside. When you go to your place, your apartment, your house, and your workplace, you will make Jesus Christ known to others. That is how we respond to this relational God. May God bless us and prepare us to come next week to close this series. And let me recap what we said. Our God is relational. He's our friend. He's self-giving. And He's our Father. Let us respond to Him. I'll just lead us in prayer. Then we will have a few announcements and from there we will go. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, dear Lord, for who You are. We pray that, Lord, we will have a deeper relationship with You. We will know You, and we will make You be known to others, Lord. Guide us as we go from here in Jesus' name. Amen.